Good morning. It is truly an honor and a blessing to be worshiping with you today. I have to admit that when I received the call from Father Paul to come and share the word with you this morning, I was overcome with some fear. And then when I attended midnight mass on Christmas and came into the sanctuary for the first time and saw it full with people and with spirit, my fear was first amplified and then transformed into awe. This is truly a holy space, and it is with this spirit of fear and awe and great respect that I stand before you today. As an ordained minister in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, I have the privilege of being a part of the denomination which has held ecumenism in the forefront of its mission since its early formations on the American frontier in the early 19th century. And as an interfaith chaplain to the street community and the vice president of the board of directors of the Marin Interfaith Council, I am a part of what I believe is the next movement of interreligious work. We are standing at a very exciting place and time, where the multiplicity of the world's religions are accessible to us, where we have the unique opportunity to learn from and commune with so many of the world's great wisdom traditions. We are at a place and time, I believe, where Christians are finally beginning to realize and recognize that we are not alone in this world. And we are finally beginning to understand, I believe, the damage that we have collectively done to those around us who look, act, or believe differently than we do. I believe this because as Christians, we are finally beginning to look at our fear and how that fear has driven us to act out of violence toward others. And even within Christianity, denominations splinter over disagreements about digressions, and historically, we Protestants have not been too kind to the Catholic Church, or to each other, for that matter. And so this 8 days to celebrate our unity in Christ seems so small, hardly sufficient, and yet it provides an important opportunity for us to look at our fear and perhaps allow it to be transformed into awe. I'm learning to believe that it is actually the smallest things that make the most difference. And if I don't allow myself to see these small things, then I miss some of what is most beautiful in this world. I remember when I first started in this work as a street chaplain. I remember the fear that I felt as an intern walking into the St. Vincent de Paul free dining room for the first time. I was terrified. All those faces, all so different from anything I had seen before. As I stood in line and people filed in around me, a great uneasiness began to settle into my stomach. I felt my face go hot and my palms began to sweat. I looked around. I looked at myself. Blue jeans. Old sneakers, sweatshirt, backpack. I didn't look much different at all from the other people in the line with me. And there was this voice inside of me screaming, "I am not one of them." Why was this so frightening for me? Why this sudden urge to announce my separateness? And then coming through the line with a tray full of food, looking around for an empty seat, feeling something I had not felt since lunch hour in grade school. Who looks friendly? Who can I sit with? Is there anyone here like me? I found a vacant spot, and I sat and I ate, keeping my eyes low. I was a stranger in a strange land, an outsider amongst outsiders. And that day I was only able to sit there and look at myself. That day I did not see the community for all of its members, because somewhere inside of me there is this desire to see everyone as separate from myself. Somehow that sense of separateness serves to keep me feeling safe and superior. It serves my delicate ego to think that my way of seeing is the only way to see. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. This reminder from St. Paul is an important one. It lets us know that we are not alone. It reinforces the reality that we are a part of something much larger than our brains allow us to comprehend. And if we are not reminded, we are prone to miss that reality, which is all around us, all the time. What does it mean to say that as a church, as the church, we are the body of Christ together? The New Testament scholar Jerome Murphy O'Connor writes of the community in Corinth that most members had in common only their Christianity. They differed widely in educational attainment, financial resources, religious background, political skills, and above all, in their expectations. They were energetic and ambitious people, and there was little agreement among their various hidden agendas. A certain competitive spirit was part of the ethos of the church from the beginning. This description of the community to which Paul was writing sounds startlingly similar to the sense I have of the church in the world. These problems of being church together have not faded over the centuries. We are different people with different perspectives, each wanting what we want for ourselves. We allow ourselves to be led by these wants, and when we do, it drives a wedge, a separation between us. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, all made to drink of one Spirit, and indeed the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If all were a single member, where would the body be? It is the differences that make us who we are. It is in the honoring of these differences that we truly see the body in its full glory. Because although we are different, we are still a part of the same great body. So what did I miss that first morning at St. Vincent's? I missed the reality of each member doing its job to support the whole community. I missed the man sweeping the sidewalk out of gratitude for the gifts he had been given. I missed the woman comforting her friend who had just lost his job and his apartment. I missed the child smiling between mouthfuls of mashed potatoes. I missed the dog outside, lovingly licking the hands of friends, stopping to pet his head or scratch his chin. All of these expressions of love and spirit become invisible when I let my hidden agendas and my fragile ego lead me. I miss the reality, and I fill the space with my own expectations. I have come come to believe in a church universal, a church without walls or boundaries or membership rosters, a church beyond our ideas of church, a church which acknowledges everyone as a part of the body of the cosmic and eternal Christ. We are a long way from fully realizing and actualizing that vision. But when I am aware of my part in the great body, and that I am only a part, I begin to see the other parts working with me and with each other in service of the body as a whole. As I experience the world, we are all beings of spirit, precious and beloved by the universal creating Creator God, and so each religion in the world, each sect of each religion, each person in each sect is a part of the great body of Christ through the one spirit of love which penetrates and fills each and every one of our hearts. I see this reality each Tuesday afternoon as I sit in a circle with men and women from the street community. Our wellness gathering is an opportunity for sharing and support, followed by a meal shared with a local congregation. And since these gatherings began, this parish, St. Raphael's, has been breaking bread with us. I have continued to be amazed over the years at how deep the sharing in this circle goes. We laugh and we cry together. We share our joys and our concerns. Sometimes we even sing and dance. But a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the feeling of separation experienced by people who are living outside. And I shared that I have become increasingly uncomfortable with this word, homeless. It feels judgmental to me to presume that there are people who truly have no home. That this word, which we use to be somehow synonymous with house, a structure made of wood and plaster, could possibly adequately describe what this community of people is or is not. We all agree that this concept of homelessness is so deeply ingrained that the mere mention of the word raises myriad images and assumptions about who these people are. I have grown tired of those assumptions, and I am seeking language that allows room for new images to develop. When I talk about what I do, I refer to this work as being present with those who are living outside or those who are living with less. The concept of street community is very real to me because I have witnessed the richness that is there beneath the surface once the assumptions are peeled away. And yet, when I use these unconventional descriptions, I am very frequently met with the response, "Oh, so you work with homeless people." We are so set in patterns of thinking that serve to keep us separate. There is an implanted image of what it means to have a home and an implanted image of what it means to be without one, but these are only images. They are fictional. They are not real. "I'm not homeless," one man said. "I am always at home on planet Earth. I am not a homeless wanderer," a woman wrote. "I am a home-filled wanderer." When people are told continually that they are separate and that they are lacking something that they should have, that energy infects their reality. And eventually they believe it and live it and breathe it. I see this everywhere. I see this in myself. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. At our wellness dinner, when I see the men and women and children from this congregation sitting and sharing a meal with people whom they may never have approached on the street, I rejoice in the honoring that is in that fellowship hall. Because as bread is broken and shared, I can feel the wound of our separation being healed. Truly love. Love is the antidote for our fear. And if you read ahead in 1 Corinthians, this is where Paul is going. It is by putting love into action that we are able to step through our fear and realize the reality that we are all the body of Christ and individually members of it. For me, this is the only way to truly be the church in the world. So may we live with that truth in our hearts. And may we realize and recognize the limits of our separation. And may we strive for the day when we all may recognize the beauty and the working of the whole body, suffering with those who suffer, and honoring each member as important and invaluable.